Welcome back to another episode of Spanish Wine 101, brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Today we are back with more wines from La Mancha. It's hard to imagine today, especially for those of you who are new to Spanish wine, but there was a time, and it wasn't very long ago, that Valdepeñas, a region in the south of La Mancha, and its red wine was the wine of Madrid. It really was. It was known for being the wine of Madrid's taverns for many, many years, and even up until fairly recently. I mean, this is one of the big, big regions in Spain, and in terms of production, it still is. It's known for being common in both senses of the word, that is, easily available and unsophisticated, but cheap, very cheap. And there was a reason for that. And it was an advantage and disadvantage for different reasons, but I'll get into that in a second. Valdepeñas is a very old region. The town, basically now a city, was founded in the early part of the 13th century after the Christians finally took control. These wines established themselves in Madrid fairly early on in the 1500s. And they have stayed there almost ever since. There are records from the 18th century documenting the use of dozens of drivers who would take their carts and wagons with the wine all the way up to the north, where Madrid was. And then business definitely began to boom exponentially with the building of the famous Tren del Vino, which is the wine train, in the second half of the 19th century. This was a train and a line that was built basically exclusively to ensure that the wine could reach the capital. Every day, as many as 25 freight cars hauled 100 wineskins, wine sacks, or containers the size of an entire pig or even more, to Madrid in order to keep the residents there well supplied with vino. The first trip was launched on May 24th in 1861, and for decades, this business ran the local economy. Then you had the phylloxera epidemic, as usual, affecting every part of Spain pretty much, and the post-phylloxera recovery from that, and renewed prosperity throughout much of the 20th century. Valdepeñas became its own DO in 1930, making it one of the oldest in Spain. It was cheap to produce and cheap to buy. And in those open plains out there in La Mancha, there was plenty of space to make lots of it. In addition to being sold as wine, a sizable portion of this wine, especially the white wine, was distilled and sent to the sherry region for making sherry and brandy there. So business was very good for these people. As I was saying, one reason why business did so well there is because the wine was almost ridiculously cheap. Some of it was red, but a lot of it was kind of a fake red, a light red, almost rosé-like wine known as aloque. And it's not rosé. Rosés are made through a specific process, almost like a red wine. And then you also have in Spain the famous claretes, which are often wines made from mixing red and white grapes. The aloque was much more basic. You basically mixed red wine with white wine. This is not allowed anymore by law in the European Union, and the region itself has restricted its production to only unofficial use. In any event, during the 1970s and 80s, this region began to undergo a transformation, for better or for worse. There used to be something like 600 family-run wineries, but that number has drastically been reduced to about 42. And of those, maybe four or five are the big ones. And of those four or five, there are really two giants, the hands-down giants. Normally, I don't get into details about wineries to avoid favoritism unless mentioning them is done for another purpose, as is the case here. These two wineries are known as Felix Solís and García Carrión. They are still family-owned the way they like it in this sector, but they are massive wine producers, winemaking monsters, talking hundreds of millions of bottles. These are practically companies. The two have been rivals on one hand and partners on the other, They've also ventured into other regions like Rioja, Rueda, and Toro, as well as offer wine in carton packaging. There's a famous one called Don Simon, which is García Carrión. Today, Valdepeñas is known almost exclusively for its red wine, but it also makes some white wine, rosé, sparkling wine, semi-sweet wine, and sweet wines, but basically red, made from Tempranillo. A lot of it is young, but a surprisingly high percentage is aged, crianzas, reservas, and gran reservas, and they go for a steal for the most part. Some wine connoisseurs may get a little bit snobby about them, considering them to be beneath their refined tastes, but the fact is many of these wines are a great deal for the price that you're paying. We're talking 2, 3, 4 euros, maybe 5 for a bottle, and that's a sort of high end. It almost seems impossible, and according to some, it is. You see, in 2020, and in addition to the uphill battle that this region is fighting to get its name back into sort of the sector as a quality wine producer, a scandal broke out, which, if you think about it, may not be too surprising. But it's hard to know what the truth is. Anyway, it was bad news for the region. That was the year a report came out accusing the wineries of selling aged labeled wines, that is, crianzas and reservas and so on, when in fact the wine was young wine from that year and the label said it was something different. And it hadn't been subjected to any aging at all. Apparently, the DO admitted as much, or at least admitted the fact that there was a discrepancy with the numbers and the bottles sold, and it was a big mess. And the timing could not have been worse for this region. And the government got involved, the justice system got involved, and these two big wineries began to mutually accuse each other of unethical, if not illegal, practices. Basically, they started throwing each other under the bus. As things stand, the jury is still out. What investigators have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt is just how lackadaisical the sector can be when producing figures and numbers about production and what they have and what they don't have. Numbers didn't necessarily match because they were falsified. Oftentimes this happened because people just got their facts and figures wrong, or statistics weren't always strictly recorded, or they were outdated. One report, for example, indicated the number of oak barrels registered from García Carrión actually referred to the amount the company had in 2006, nearly 20 years ago, and no one bothered to update it. So that may have been part of the explanation there. But whatever the story ends up being, the bad publicity, certainly tarnished Valdepeñas' image, which was already struggling on its own. So we have this combination of this classic Spanish wine region experiencing tough times, and some of it brought on by themselves, and they have only themselves to blame. Its business agency has been closed, and now a new region called Campo de Calatrava, which once belonged to Valdepeñas, has broken away and started up on its own. Quite possibly it was tired of the stigma and sort of the two-party rule by the other wineries I was telling you about. Nonetheless, the region carries on. Remember, cheap is a big selling point for a wine-consuming country, and abroad for people looking for more frugal options. It remains one of the biggest sellers in Spain and abroad, in some cases up to 65% of the sales from some of these wineries come from exports. Just what this all means is still a bit of a mystery. I was hoping this region would break out of its mold and head in a new direction. It doesn't seem to have found it yet, and the scandals are not helping. All the same, give the Valdepeñas a chance. Believe it or not, you can find it. It's easy to find, so don't, turn your nose up at it, and let us know what you think. With the exception of a few oddballs, which are quite pricey, this stuff is so cheap that even if you don't think much of it, it won't break your budget. And if you do like it, well, enjoy it. It goes well with meals. It's, as I said, it's not really sophisticated stuff, but it's easy to drink. And that will be all for this episode of Let's Open a Bottle, the podcast, the story of Spain's wine revolution. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please feel free to send us comments or questions because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Cheers, or salud as they say in Spain. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.